Father, I thank you for this time we have together. We give you this next moment, this next time, this present right now, Lord. And we ask that our hearts would be open and our minds ready. I pray that you would speak to us individually. I ask that understanding would be granted to really know how life is to be lived in the kingdom that you came to set up. That we would be those that understand you're the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus, the Savior, Christ, the Anointed One, but you're Lord. You're the sovereign King of the kingdom that we now belong to. So, be our King, and let us be those that follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be honest. There is, not that I'm not always honest with you, but there is in me as a dad a little bit of a beef that I can have with Mother's Day. Because this is the way I see it. You've got Mother's Day where more long distance phone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other day, including Father's Day. You've got, someone said amen to that. Amen. You better call me son. You've got, on Mother's Day, every family, they get dressed up and they go out to eat. All kinds of presents are bought. Spa certificates, chocolate, roses. Yes, you're welcome. We go all out. On this day, this is the third most church-attended day of the year. Easter, number one. Christmas, number two. Mother's Day, number three. You know why? All the sons and all the daughters are trying to impress their parents. Like, yeah, I'm always in church, Mom. Come on. So here's my gift to you. I will act like I know you. What's up, bro? Hey, good to see you again. And we go all out. We'll buy gifts, certificates, everything. We celebrate Mother's Day. We go for it. But we don't necessarily do the same thing for Father's Day, do we? Here's a typical Father's Day. Fathers, we get the privilege of barbecuing the steak today, or on our day, right? And that can be either a blessing or a bummer for our family, depending on our talents. And then we get a $2 Chinese imitation Leatherman to add to our collection day over. It's like, huh? It's like, I want to be a mom for one day. That's it. But I think recently I kind of figured out why it is that we sell out and go for it on Mother's Day versus Father's Day. Many of you know that my wife, my four kids, myself, we spent the month of January in India. It was a wonderfully great, difficult time. And it was on this trip in India that I think I really recognize the vast difference between dads and moms and why we go out for Mother's Day. We were traveling from the eastern side of India across to the western side of India. It's the southern part's tip. Takes about 12 hours. Windy road, lots of stops, lots of going, all that kind of stuff. We had stopped for lunch, driven for about another hour, and we hit this very windy section with lots of slowing down and speeding up. And this is what happened. I am sitting next to a window. Elijah is sitting in this middle seat, and my wife is sitting next to the window, other window. So it's me, Elijah, my wife. When Elijah, he gets car sick, and he starts to just hurl these chunks. Now, as a dad, I went into combat mode. I am ducking and weaving. Don't touch me. Like it was full on Matrix. Like, whoosh, whoosh, there it goes. Missed. I was good. My wife, she was better. She didn't go into matrix mode. She went into pro baseball catcher mode, and she reached out her hands and just started catching this reverse curry. And it overflows her hands, so she starts conveyor belting it to the dress in her lap. And then finally she just turns Elijah, and he's just Ralphing right into her lap. Fills up her lap. So we pull over, obviously. We get out. We're on the side of the road in this kind of dusty part of India. And I remember the strangest feeling ever. Here I am. My wife is out. I'm out. We're the only two people that are out. I'm looking at my wife. Now, she is dressed in this bright blue missionary dress. It makes her look like she had just come from some fundamentalist cult in Utah. You know the kind? That's what she looks like. It is covered in this Agent Orange curry kind of stuff that's dripping off the bottom of her dress. It's nasty. I'm looking at her, though, and I'm thinking, this thought goes through my mind as I look at her. I just thought this. I said, woman, you rock. You rock. You smell as well, but you rock. And I had this just desire right then and there just to grab her and give her a hug. In India, though, if you know India culture, public displays of affection are very frowned on. So I escaped the hurl hug. I didn't have to do that. But I felt it. I felt it, and it was right then and there that I realized there's a great disparity between dads and moms, and we rightfully celebrate and go all out for Mother's Day. Because in our culture, we are, for the most part, very narcissistic. We are very me-oriented. We are very much get what I want to get. That's the way culture is. I don't care where you're at. America, India, Europe, it's about me, what I can get. Moms, for the most part as a group, they stand in opposition to this whole me-oriented, get what I'm going to get attitude. Moms, for the most part, they're ones that are serving and sacrificing and giving of themselves. It starts day one with moms, where they make the decision to have a baby. They give their body day one. It stretches and expands, and hot flashes, and cold flashes, and hormonal rushing, and just nutty behavior. So they give day one. I've had four kids. Come on. So not me. I haven't personally had four kids. My wife has had four kids. I've been there. So they give their body. And contrary to popular books, it is near impossible to get your body back. Now, they write the books, and I think all those books are written by gals that never had kids, and they're like aerobic instructors. And the moment they have a kid, they're like, I hate that book. It's lies. Throw it away. Difficult. And then there's delivery. And for most moms, that first year, that was the easiest year. It just gets harder from there. So moms are this, to me, this incredible example of self-sacrifice and giving. And that's the reason when dads and sons and daughters, when we remember all that on Mother's Day, we go all out. We remember, wow, mom served me. She gave. And so we celebrate it. But here's my challenge. Most of us in here are Christians. I think as Christians, we're not just to celebrate moms. We are to be those that imitate moms when it comes to selfless serving and giving. Because here's what Jesus says. Jesus says in Matthew 17, right around verse 24, he says this. If you want to follow me, if you want to be a Christian, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Then he goes on to say, and here's what else. He says, if you are somebody that wants to have life, you better lose your life for my sake. If you try to cling on to your life and you say, it's all about me, it's all about what I can get, it's serve me, everyone needs to wait on me. If that's the kind of person you are, then Jesus says, you're going to lose your life. You won't have life. Then Jesus goes on a couple chapters later to say, this is my mission statement. I did not come to be served, but I came to serve and give my life a ransom for many. So our example, Christ's call to all Christians is pretty much be like a mom. Give yourself, serve, deny yourself. Well, there might be a few boys in here that are like, why should I? My mom's better at it. I'll let my mom serve. I'll take the service for myself. Why would I possibly want to serve? Well, we get the answer in John 13. So if you're not there yet, flip open your Bible to John 13. If moms are this group that today models self-sacrifice, Jesus is the greatest example of that in history. And Jesus, in John 13, I believe, gives us a couple very simple reasons why you want to live a life of service and sacrifice, of giving yourself for others. Two simple reasons. We won't be long. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feasts of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Here, briefly, let me tell you what's happening here. This is the Last Supper. This is Christ getting his 12 disciples together. This is the last time they're going to be together before he goes to the cross. This is the night he will be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He will be beaten and eventually nailed to a cross. That is a difficult night by anyone's standard. If anyone has an excuse to like check out and be depressed, it's Jesus. If anybody has an excuse not to serve or not to help, it's Jesus. Difficult night. He knows all this is coming. Check out what he does. Verse four. He rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. In the middle of this difficult season, Jesus starts to wash the disciples' feet. Reason number one why you want to be like mom, why you want to serve selflessly, reason number one is this. Selfless service brings influence and authority. When we serve, the Bible is going to tell us that you get authority and you get influence. That's how you get it. Now, there is in, I think, most churches, a common misconception of what it means to be a minister, what it means to be in ministry, what it means to be like a senior pastor. There's this common misconception that those positions are positions of prominence and power and wow, man, I wish I could be there. I wish I could do that. There's quite often that, you know, it's dignified. It's all these things. Now, I think that's common in most churches. I don't believe it's common at Edgewater Christian Fellowship because of me. I am not ministerish and I am not seniorish. I'm neither of those things. And so hopefully that idea hasn't crept in here that you know, wow, it's some position of prominence or wow, look at that. I hope that isn't because it's not me. Let me give you my favorite example of kind of who I am and how I am, and I'm not that dignified. It happened a year ago, last summer. I had been out studying. It was a Thursday morning, studying for a couple of hours. I came in after studying, and if I'm in a good mood, I just sing. I just sing a song. I'll just have a song on my lips. So I came in that morning for breakfast, and I'm just singing this song, and I sat down with my four kids at the table, and I'm singing away, and my singing, it tends to kind of excite my kids. So they're starting to get kind of riled up. Our whole family's kind of getting riled up, with the exception of my wife, who normally she is just the sweetest, nicest person ever. But this morning, it was one of those mornings that it was before coffee, and she's like, I need coffee now. She hadn't had it yet. And so she hears my singing. The kids are getting riled up. Breakfast is now going places it shouldn't go. And so she looks at me and she says, Matt, would you please stop singing? Please, the four kids, everything that's happening, please stop singing. And so I looked at her and I said, honey, I am not going to apologize because I like to sing in the morning. My wife, very witty, no caffeine at this point, she looked at me and she said this, honey, if you heard your singing, you'd apologize. Home run. So I hope that you don't mistake me for any of those things. I am just down to earth, normal, all that stuff. My singing, not dignified one bit. And that's something I'm very glad for. I have no desire for any of that kind of stuff because the Bible teaches that's not how ministers are to be. That's not how we're to be. The Bible teaches the opposite. Here's what was happening when Jesus disrobes and begins to wash the disciples' feet. In Luke 22, we're told this, right around verse 24. It says that the 12 disciples, while the Last Supper is happening, while communion is being instituted, while there's this most holy time that Christ is saying, I want this so bad, the 12 disciples are arguing about who's the greatest. I'm the greatest. No, you're the greatest. No. Now, why were they arguing about who is the greatest? To me, they were trying to figure out a hierarchy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Because if they could figure out that, then whoever's the lowest, whoever's number 12, he's the one that gets to wash the feet. Because washing feet was the grossest, nastiest job you could have. Now go back 2,000 years where you didn't bathe every day, number one. Number two, you're walking in sandals all the time, dusty, dirty roads, lots of donkey, cow, horse exhaust that you might be stepping in. Their feet, if you've ever been in a third world country where they don't wear shoes or sandals all the time, the feet just, they get really wide. And there'd probably be hair sticking out the sides, yellow, nasty toenails. It'd be the dirtiest, most disgusting job you could have. And so they're trying to argue about who's the greatest so they can figure out who's the least. He's the one that needs to wash the feet. During the middle of this conversation, Jesus stands up, grabs a wash basin and a towel, and starts to wash their feet. And then he says this to them, very important. He says, listen, out there, in the power circles of earth, governments and jobs, all that, out there, he says this, people will get authority and influence by power. You'll gain authority and influence because you've got the power. So your boss, he has influence on you and authority over you. Why? Because he can fire you. Dictators, they have power. They have influence because they can kill you. So Jesus says, that's the way things are out there. The power structure, the authority, the influence always comes because somebody has the might, somebody has the power, and they're going to force you to do that. But then Jesus says, in here, in the church, in the kingdom, it's going to be different. You're not going to get influence and power by forcing people. You're going to get influence and power by serving. So why do you want to serve? Jesus is going to say, you will get influence and power in life by being a servant, by being like mom. That's how you get influence in the kingdom. Now, this was brought home to me by my wife. Once again, I'm going to brag a lot about my wife because I didn't buy her a Mother's Day gift today. No, I bought her a Mother's Day gift. It's a 6-pack of Red Bull so she can really serve our family. I did not do that. I am completely joking, kind of. But my wife, this is what she did. When we first got married, I was working as an engineer. It's a salary position, so that meant there were times where my work schedule would fluctuate. I'd be at work 60, 65 hours a week, no problem, because you got to get something done. And so I remember I'd come home from that work, and I'd think, man, that was a hard day. And I'd get home during those first couple of years of marriage, and my wife would say, hey, honey, can you help me do this? And I remember thinking, what? I worked all day. I'm tired. Come on. And I said something that if you're newlyweds or if you're thinking about getting married, never say this to your wife. Don't. Take my advice. I said what I would say to her then. I'd be like, well, what did you do all day? Right? Don't say that because your wife will tell you. And so I'd be like, come on, what have you been doing? You've been just taking care of a kid? Come on, I'm tired. That was my attitude early on. Well, that has changed, praise God, because what has happened over the course of now 9 years is I've watched my wife serve. I've watched her serve our 4 kids. I've watched her serve me. I've watched her serve other people. I have watched her be an absolute servant. And so now when I get home and she says, Matt, I need help on this, I realize she's not being lazy. She's not trying to get out of something. She truly needs my help. And because she has been such a servant now, that has given her influence over me. And I say, let me help you. For the most part, you know, sometimes I slack. But I've seen her serve and it's changed the power structure. Now I want to help her. She has influence on me because she served. And I don't care what area you're looking at, family, community, workplace, I don't care what it is, if you will serve people, it will give you influence over them. And here's the thing about serving influence, it lasts. If I have influence over somebody because I've got the power to fire them, the minute they check out, punch out the clock, I don't have any influence over them anymore. They're like, forget that guy. I hate my boss, burn the place down, right? But influence that comes from serving, from people saying, I like that guy, he helps me, he's a blessing to me, influence that comes from that lasts. Influence that comes from might, it only stays there as long as you have the might. So Jesus, number one, says the reason why you want to serve, reason why you want to be a servant, Luke chapter 22, is it is going to give you influence in the kingdom. Reason number two, let's skip down to verse 12. Verses 6 through 11, it's a discussion Jesus has with Peter not wanting to have his feet washed. Verse 12, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Verse 17 is the key. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So Jesus, number one, the reason why you want to serve is it gives you influence in the kingdom. That's where influence comes. Not top down, it's bottom up. But secondly, verse 17, Jesus says the reason why you want to serve is that is the recipe for happiness. You want happiness? You want joy? Serve. There are tons of philosophies. You want to try to find out how to be happy in this world? There is every single month some bestseller book on the New York Times list. This is how to get happy. This is how to have joy. This is whatever. There are uncountable different ideas of how to get happy. The Chinese have a saying. I kind of like it. It says this. This is a Chinese philosophy on happiness. They say, if you want to be happy for one day, get drunk. Don't be happy the next day, you'll be hungover. Want to be happy for 1 week? Get married. If you want to be happy for a lifetime, garden. So that's Chinese. That's the Chinese philosophy. Oldest civilization ever. They're saying this is it. The 1960s, this was the philosophy. In the 1960s, in America, the philosophy for happiness was this. Three hots and a flop. If you've got three hot meals and a place to lay your head, that's happiness. I say you get that in prison. Don't know a lot of people happy in prison. Alan Wolf, this guy that I perused one of his books, he's a sociologist. He had a very interesting way to diagnose if people are happy. He wrote this book, it's called One Nation After All. And Alan Wolf says this, you can tell if a family is happy by looking at their garbage can. If their garbage can is overflowing with garbage, you know they're happy. Because they're able to buy everything they want, they're able to consume whatever they want, and they're throwing away all this garbage from all that they've consumed. So happiness, according to Alan Wolf, is an overflowing garbage can. Now, I had an overflowing garbage can. I have them all the time, as a matter of fact. And the overflowing garbage can has never brought me happiness. In fact, it's done the opposite. Because I have to take my garbage can. We kind of live a little bit rural area. I've got to take my garbage can about 100 yards down from my house and put it down on this road where they'll actually pick it up. Well, where I have to put my garbage can, there's a dog. Whenever my garbage can is overflowing, it knocks over my garbage can and just spreads it all over the neighborhood, which is embarrassing. Nobody wants their garbage everywhere. So then I come home from work. I've got to clean it all up. And so now when my garbage can is overflowing, guess what I got to do? Jump up there and start just kind of, you know, slam. Husbands, you ever done that? You just got to get up there and like try to squish all this stuff in there. And it's nasty and unsanitary. I've gone through a whole Tuesday, which is my meeting day, a whole Tuesday with lettuce just stuck to the side of my shoe. It's like sick. Dried on, gross lettuce. So to me, no, that doesn't work. Overflowing garbage can. Jesus says, verse 17, if you know these things, you've seen me, I've demonstrated this to you, I've explained the kingdom to you, you know this. Happy are you if you do it. Such a simple message. Happy are you if you do it. Understand that the example mom gave, the example I just gave, understand that is the course to true happiness. Giving, serving, selflessness is what is ultimately going to make you and me happy. Now, this is what I love. I love when science proves that the Bible's right. So there's this study. It's done by the National Institute of Health, where a couple of doctors, Dr. Moll and Dr. Grafman, they did this study where they scanned people's brains when they were serving, when they were putting the needs of others before themselves. When they weren't being selfish, they were being selfless. And so they scanned the brain of all these people when they're being selfless, and what they found was this. The part of the brain that lit up when people were giving, serving, when they were selfless, the part of the brain that lit up, the same part of the brain that lights up when you have a really good meal or when you're having sex. The pleasure center of the brain. And so these two guys concluded, hey, if you serve, happy are you. You want true happiness. Now science has said it comes by giving yourself away, by denying yourself, by serving other people. That is what is going to bring you ultimately the greatest joy. So today, we're right to celebrate moms. Absolutely. But for many of us, we need to start doing more than celebrate. We need to start imitating them. We need to start giving ourselves away. We need to take Jesus Christ's command really to us. If you know these things, you know them now. Happy are you if you do them. So can I please recommend? Serve. Serve your family. Serve at the workplace. Serve at the gospel rescue mission. Volunteer somewhere. Somehow give yourself away in some aspect. Serve and watch and see verse 17 happen. Happy are you if you're somebody that's giving yourself away. Serve. Be selfless. Deny yourself and watch and see that part of your brain light up and you have the greatest happiness ever. So moms, thanks. Thanks for your example. Thanks for all the input you've put into us. And now the rest of us are going to start imitating you as well. Amen? Lord, I thank you for this reminder of what the Christian life is. It's not about me. It's not about my best life now. The Christian life is about denying myself, giving of myself, following the perfect model of your son, who said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom. Lord, I pray for so many of us in here that have been serving well. May we not grow weary in well-doing. May we continue to know that is the highest way of living life. And for others of us that need to engage and serve and deny ourselves and give and be selfless, Lord, I pray that this day, this simple message would resound and that we'd realize the course to happiness is denying ourselves, taking up our crosses, and following you, giving, serving, blessing others. So enable us in that. Bless the moms, Lord, this day. May we celebrate them. May we celebrate all that they've done for us. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Go enjoy a beautiful day. God bless you.